Isn't it wonderful that we don't have to live by this flesh? Amen. This old world has a way of trying to train us in Christians into accepting its rules, but we don't live by the rules of this world. We live by the rules of the Spirit. We're going to start in Galatians chapter 4 in verse 21. We're going to continue to talk a bit more now that I feel like the image that the Lord's placed in me of the body, the soul, and the spirit, and who we are, once you begin to understand it, the rest of the scriptures, a lot of scriptures will begin to open up to you and help us to really see who we are and who we don't have to be. A lot of Christians live their whole life through their flesh and do good works, but it's not close to what God has for you individually. You know, I think we've got comfortable in our American Christianity looking up to preachers or the fivefold ministry and not realizing that we are a body. In fact, you can say that with me. Say, I'm part of the body of Christ. I did not choose my part. God chose my part for me. So I'm just as important as every other part. My reward will be just as big for doing my part as anyone else. So a lot of the church world today lives in a place of trying to serve God the best they can, but they don't realize individually, each person individually can go into God as far as they want to. And I think that's why I don't ever find myself, not that it's not out there, it's not God, but I never find myself preaching to a church as a whole, that God has a plan for a church. Now, I know God has plans for nations, and He works with things for nations and for different bodies. But see, when you start making blank statements, like next year is going to be the year of the church, well, what does that mean? The whole church? Everyone's going to be prosperous next year? That wasn't prosperous this year? See, I remember hearing one preacher say, well, I can't remember what year it was specifically, but it was a certain number, and that number meant, I don't know if it meant the year of Jubilee, or if it meant, if it was the number 7, or 7 times 7, or 7 times 7 times 7, or whatever the number was, made that year special by numbers for him, and he preached, well, next year, at the strike of midnight, as the year turns into the next year, that's the year of prosperity for you. When God couldn't heal you this year, He'll be able to heal you next year. And maybe you've heard statements like, next year is a year for you. Well, you can't make those blank statements for a person individually. Now, I'm not talking about corporately. I'm okay with that. But individually, you have a place where you individually, I'm talking to you, can walk into God, walk free from sin, walk into your calling, and never turn back. And so when I see the church, I believe as God sees the church. He doesn't stand at the pulpit and see the whole corporate group all standing here. He sees you individually. He stands in front of you when He talks to you. It's about you. It's about your calling. It's about your problems, your struggles. Because the enemy, when he comes to attack the church, he doesn't just come and attack a church. He attacks individuals in the church, families in the church. He attacks you individually at your home. He doesn't just come in, show up on Sunday. You know, He'll follow you home. And you know what I'm talking about, I can tell. When I preach, I feel like the Lord may change me later on, but my messages are not for the corporate body as much as for you individually. Not that that, again, I'm not saying that those who preach to the corporate body or an error. I'm just saying I can't seem to go there. It'd be much nicer for me to go there than I don't have to deal with individual struggles. Just say, God's got something good for you. Devil's defeated, amen? But what does that mean? See, the devil's defeated. We know that, amen? The devil is defeated. But why is he at my house when I go home? But it means there's trouble. You find trouble wherever you go. That's why you don't need to run, because if you run, you take it with you. And the more we begin to see the image in the scripture about who we are, we also begin to see where our troubles really lie, number one, which is more than the devil. The devil's the least of your problems when it comes to your struggle. It has to do with your body that you're wearing. Now, when we talk bad about the body that you're wearing, please don't think I'm talking about this evil body that we want to, some religions, they try to hurt their body as a form of proving to God they don't like their body. They scar themselves, they whip their bodies. We're not talking about that. That's useless to God. That'd be the easy way out. You know, that's the easy way of dealing with your body, if you could just do that and get it over with. But the mortifying of your body is putting to death. Death means the dead. Amen? Putting to death the voice that comes from your body. Because your body has a voice. It's the voice of the old man. And it's trying to tell you who you are. It'll compile all the proof from your past, like a lawyer, and tell you how bad you are, how much of a failure you are, how much of a loser you are for not overcoming things. So why is it taking you so dang long? Can I say dang in church? Why is it taking you so gosh darn long to get over that thing? Loser. That's what your body will say. Your body will put his arm around you and go, "We're such a loser. You and me." Because your body wants you to accept it as who you are, and it will take any path you want. You want to be religious? It'll be happy to be religious. It'll dress nice, act holy, but not be holy. It will perform good works. It'll quit smoking if you let it hang out with you. If you want to get down in the dumps, you want to be sorrowful and pitiful about yourself, it'll play that role. Whatever role you need it to play, it will play for you as long as you don't let it face mortification. Amen. See, the more we see this, the more liberating it should be to you, because now you know. Once you realize your body, the voice of your flesh, this body is something that's no longer you. You can adopt it and accept it as you, and go down a horrible road of life, in a shallow road of life. Or you now know, you should know by now, that whatever voice your body's telling you, it doesn't matter how hard it seems, doesn't matter how difficult it may seem, how long you've been struggling with it, you can overcome it. Amen. Not just overcome it every day, wrestle it to the ground every day, wrestle it to the ground every day, wrestle it to the ground every day. There's more to the power of God that he gave you of being born again than wrestling with this ugly flesh every single day. There's a place called mortification where the wrestling will cease because you have placed it under your feet where it's supposed to live. So we're going to start today in Galatians chapter 4, verse 11, or verse 21. And just to pass in review, when you were born again, you received a new nature. The new nature brought your spiritual man to life, your inner man, brought it to life. And it now, the inner man, must be renewed. And the knowledge of the life of God must be taught to your inner man. The new nature itself is complete, but the inner man is the one who needs to be renewed in you. The flesh was left alone to die. And our job as Christians is twofold. If you want to know what your job as Christians is, you really can find out in Scripture. It's not to win the world. It's not to feed the poor. It's not to preach the gospel. That is a fruit. It's not even to come to church. Church is good for you, don't get me wrong. But the job, the first job as a Christian, being born again, is simply to take your inner man, feed it till it grows, take your outer man and fight it till it dies. Amen. And then from there, you'll find who you really are, walk and stomp around this earth in total dominion over your life, over your body, and over your calling. verse 21, starting almost midway here. Tell me, now I love the Apostle Paul in Galatians. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? So let's be clear, Galatians is a church that Paul started in Galatia. And the Judaizers came back and said, look, you can know God, but to know God, you have to at least, even though you're Gentiles, you have to at least accept some of the laws that us Jews have to accept. And one of the big ones was you have to be circumcised. Okay? Now, as a baby being circumcised, that's one thing, but a full-grown man being circumcised, you better be a good preacher if you're going to talk me into something like that. So there must have been an issue because these full-grown men were being tempted to go back, to go under the law to be circumcised. There's some good preachers of the law. Even today, there's good preachers of the law that tell you what you need to do to get God to take care of you. I won't go into that message. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? So when you decide that you need the law to fulfill the law, the Judaizers' law, you start hearing it everywhere you go. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the what? Flesh. And he of the free woman through what? The promise. So he's breaking this down. Apostle Paul's a good preacher being led by the Holy Ghost. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to what? Bondage. So he's saying that the law gave birth to bondage. Well, we know from Pastor Dave's teaching and that the law exposed inside of the Jews, not the Gentiles because they weren't given the law. The law was given to the Jews to expose inside of them that they had a nature of sin on the inside. Which things, verse 24, are symbolic, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar in Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. Rejoice, O barren, for it is written, verse 27, rejoice, O barren, for you do not hear. Break forth and shout, for you are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children, she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. So he tells them, we are children of promise, not a children of bondage. But as he who was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the what? The bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Now, what we're about to read is so powerful to me after I saw the image that I've been preaching to you this last year. Because once you begin to see this, you can begin to get hope for you yourself personally. That there's nothing that you've come through. There's nothing that you've inherited from this world that you cannot freely inherit from heaven victory over. Amen. There's nothing you're facing that you can't have victory over. Amen. I personally am going through a physical battle. When I read this scripture the way I'm preaching it, it brings me such hope to know I'm a spiritual creature. There's a path for me. God's personally laid out for me to overcome this attack on my body. I don't have to accept anything in my life. I'm not just talking about physical, emotional, past struggles. Some people live a holy life, but they're miserable. They're mean to snakes. They won't drink a beer, but they'll cut your throat for $5. Oh, I'm preaching too much now. So watch this. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Verse 3. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. He's given us a couple clues here. If you try to go under legalism, the law, you're putting yourself under bondage, you're not going to be an heir. You'll be trying to earn everything. And listen, honey, if you want to earn it, you're not going to be good enough to earn it. You think giving your 10% to the church will earn you provision? You better give more than 10%. That's not enough. 100% isn't enough. But we know that Jesus was enough. He was the offering. He was enough. So then, brethren, we are not, say we, are not children of the bondwoman. Say I am not a child of the bondwoman, but of the free. You're birthed of God through a freedom that it means unearned. You'll never be good enough. Hope you get this. Holy enough, sanctified enough to earn one thing that God wants you to have as an heir. And this is one of the struggles that most Christians will face. An eternal struggle of doing things for God, serving God, without trying to offer God the service to get something back. He doesn't want another offering from you. Jesus was enough. Heard one preacher talk on. He talked on and talked on. It was Easter time. You'll hear it on TV if you watch Christian TV anymore. You'll hear it come up. It's a good sermon. Get lots of money. And he was talking on. He said he was given scripture in the Old Testament of how the Passover offering purchased salvation, purchased healing, purchased salvation for loved ones, purchased freedom from bondage. He named the whole list of things the Passover offering gave. And then at the end, the twist you wait for was now it's time for you to give your Passover offering. If you want to receive all these things from God that I just gave you scripture for, I want you to get out your checkbook and write the biggest check you can. Don't be stingy, because God wasn't stingy for you. And send it to the poor. No. Send it to your local church. No. Send it to me. And you better be quick, because the anointing's on me. And I remember yelling at my TV, no. Because the Passover offering isn't your check. It isn't what you can give us. Jesus became the Lamb to give you free access to everything that was purchased by his blood. See, you're free to receive. That doesn't mean that you're free to stay the same. But let's not mix the two. Pursuing things of God, pursuing his direction, pursuing holiness, pursuing growing in the Spirit does not give you more access to what you already have the moment you're saved. The moment you're saved, you have access to everything. But what you're lacking is the knowledge. When I say you know, I always mean me too, but stand. Now here's chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast. Now I'm reading the New King James, but I'm pretty sure it's pretty close to the King James Version. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, say liberty. Liberty! By which Christ has made us free. Now, stop right there. Free from what? The law. Now, when I was bewitched by the grace, hyper grace message 25 years ago, I didn't need anyone to teach me. The devil began to teach me. The Holy Spirit taught me out of it. The devils and demons taught me in it. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. I'm free. I'm free. I'm liberated from the law. So what that meant to me under the bewitching of a hyper-grace message was, I don't need any standards. Pfft. Hallelujah. God's forgiven me of all my sin. He didn't mean personal sin. He meant the sin nature. But God's put away sin forever, so now I'm free to run around. He accepts me as I am. How many know God loves you just the way you are? No matter how, even when you were the ugliest sinner you ever been, He loved you just the same as He does now. He doesn't love you more now that you're saved than He did before you were saved. But somewhere, I took this verse and twisted it into a liberty meant, don't give me standards. Don't expect anything from me. I'm free. And the motto was, hey, I'll just love God. He'll love me, and pretty soon I'll want to get rid of things. Listen, there were things that I didn't like about myself, but I didn't want to get rid of them. I don't know if you got that or not. I just thought, hey, God's taken the whole group into the church. That's the most dangerous message, because it will put people on a path where they'll start to walk away from God unwittingly. Then he goes on to talk more. So stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. So he's talking about being liberated from what? The law. Not going back under a religious form to try to earn something from God that Jesus already gave you by his blood, by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of what? Bondage. Now, old school, that meant don't go down to the bar, get back under the yoke of bondage. But really what he's talking about here, the yoke of bondage, is again putting yourself under religious formula to try to build a relationship with God that's already been purchased for you by the blood of Jesus. So here he talks about liberty from law. Say amen if you're still with me.
Amen.
All right. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Again, he's not talking about going down the bar. Here he's not preaching to sinful creatures trying to keep one foot in the world and one foot in church. Here he's talking about people trying to keep one foot in the Old Testament and one foot in the New Testament. If you go ahead and get circumcised, he's simply saying if you're trying to earn something through what they're telling, these preachers are telling you of the Old Testament, preachers of the Old Testament are telling you, you have to be circumcised or you can't make it with God. You have no covenant with God. And Paul here says if you do that, Christ will profit you nothing, because everything you get from God comes through Christ, not through trying to fulfill the law. And I testify, verse 3, again, to every man who's become circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. In other words, if you think you got to keep the law, you can't just keep one part of it. You got to keep the whole law. Now, let's have a real look at how you really are. You're never going to be good enough. No matter, even the best man who kept the law could not keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. Verse 4. You who attempt to be justified by law, you've fallen from what? Grace. So again, falling here from grace is not falling into the world. It's falling away from the New Testament, a healthy grace, a proper grace, where God gives me all the strength and has paid the price completely for me to walk free from things. But not a grace that allows me to live lasciviously. Now, we're going to get into that because he talks about liberty in another form in a minute. So when he says you've fallen from grace does not mean fallen into the world. It means fallen back under the law. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. I can just see some guys in church who got talked into getting circumcised, reading this letter, saying, well, I'd say, dang, is that right? That's as close as I can get to what I would really say. You mean I did that for nothing? Anyways, for in Christ Jesus, where am I now? I got all confused talking about that now. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. You ran well, so you're running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? So why did you get off course? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. So every person who preaches you under a legalism form of religion is not coming from God. They may be in the form of God. They may say in the name of God. They may prophesy in the name of God, but they're not. It's not from God. Verse 8, this persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, so you don't have to know what preacher is preaching garbage. You just have to say, whoever's preaching that garbage, it's garbage. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, so obviously whoever was preaching this to the church that Paul started was using his name. Well, you know, Paul is circumcised, so you should also go under this. They were trying to get them under the law. Are you understanding that? And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. Now, this is my favorite verse in the whole Bible. It shows that Paul was Canadian. Or Canadians came from Paul, one or the other. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, that's how insulted Paul was with religion, by the way. For you, brethren, having called to what?
Liberty.
No, pause right there. Hold your finger on that word, liberty. So you now have been called to liberty. Liberty from what? The law. Let's fine-tune that a little more. From the Old Testament, from not acknowledging the Old Testament and seeing Christ in the Old Testament, but doing anything to earn a relationship, a healing, a miracle, a financial blessing from God. You've been liberated from that. You're now free as children to inherit everything. So that means a couple things. Quit looking at your lousy failures as being what's stopping God. Number two, quit looking at your good stuff as being access to more of God. Okay, you got your finger on the word liberty? Now, he goes on, he uses liberty again, but in a different form. So, verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. From what? From the law. Only do not use liberty, again, another liberty here and again, as an opportunity for the flesh. Okay, now he's using the freedom from the law to tell you, now that you're a Gentile and you're saved, I want you free from the law. Now, the law does not mean standards. It means trying to get access to God through legalism. Got me? So now that I've liberated you from that, let me unliberate you from thinking you're free not to deal with something else. Because now that you're liberated from the law, because what the law did was, hey, I got circumcised. I gave my offering to the church. I showed up for church on Sunday. I fed the poor. I did these things. I'm good, right, God? I give you an offering. Where it's much more difficult to be liberated from the law and then to be unliberated from not dealing with the guy sitting in the chair with you right now. And that's why most churches preach away from making you face your flesh and preach a way of you finding God without facing your flesh. Let me rephrase that. A way of finding your living this life for God without mortifying your flesh. That was a good preaching right there. Yeah. That just described 90% of the church today. Do you understand? You can walk as a born-again believer, but your experience with God is no better than the Old Testament saints. It's all through the channel of this body. Your emotions, We have praise and worship designed for the church to get you emotionally connected to God, outward emotionally, not looking at the spiritual man, the inner man, who you really are. You know, they have big churches who the guy who is their worship leader, they hired him because he writes jingles for commercials. He now is the praise and worship leader for one of the biggest churches in America. And that was 20 years ago. That's not even new stuff. That's old stuff. Because they're trying to entice the flesh to enjoy the experience. No wonder why when you preach the word, the church gets smaller. So verse 13 again. For you, brethren, having been called to liberty, pause, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Now don't let your brain go to old teaching when I talk about these next scriptures. Because usually when we start getting simpler to the meaning, we just go right away to what we've always been taught or what we always thought. So verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So I want us to see the word Spirit here does not mean the Holy Spirit. We know that. The word Spirit here is your inner man. Walk in your inner man. And we're going to discuss a bit about what that means to walk in the Spirit. Walk in your inner man. Not fulfill the lust of your flesh. So you have a couple of really powerful words here. Walk. Let me give you an example. Joe. Joe is sitting right now. That's called sitting. Yeah. But for him to walk takes motion. Takes effort, direction. See, walking. Come here, Joe, walk this way. See, he's walking. He wants you to walk in the Spirit. Okay, you can walk back. Joe's walking back to his seat now. He's moving. Do you see movement? Do you see on purpose steps? Walk is a key word here. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill. There's another key word coming up. The lust. Of the flesh. Lust is the key word here. See, the flesh has lust. And this was such an eye-opening thing for me to see that my flesh was not just my body. The body is more than just skin, nails, bone, because my body has to do what I tell it to do. It is a servant of me. But when I saw the word lust here, and the Holy Ghost began to show me this, it proved to me that the body is so much more than just skin and bones. It's the emotions, the intellect of this body that has lust. Lust is on purpose. It has opinions, desires. This body that you're wearing, you don't need to look out at some preacher. My pastor is the reason I'm not walking in my calling. Nope. My husband is the reason we're not prosperous. Nope. My past is the reason why I'm not victorious. Nope. You're wearing it right now. That old body was not changed when you were saved. But God amazingly made it possible for, in the end, for us to be a whole new creature. I think Gary preached one time, nothing of Adam left. That's the end. But right now you got something of Adam left, this old body. But praise the Lord, because we're spiritual creatures, we don't have to give up no matter how much our body fights us. That's in your emotions. That's in your mind, your thoughts. That's in sickness, disease, because it has to bow its knee in all areas. Amen. To Him and what He's done for us. Now, let's keep reading. So the word walk means you have to on purpose walk a direction in the Spirit. Not talking about the Holy Spirit, but in... Now, the word Spirit here is more than just the inner man. We'll see when he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It's how much of the new nature have you allowed to be placed in your inner man. I don't know if you caught that or not. You get the fruit from the born-again nature. It must be taken from the nature, from that light, and placed on your inner man. That's called maturing of your inner man, the growing of your inner man. Because he tells you that if you want to see the law fulfilled, don't go get circumcised, just love your neighbor. See, that's the whole law fulfilled in one word, love. That's a fruit he mentions here in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but that's a fruit he mentions in a minute. The first fruit of the Spirit is love. Okay, you still with me? So let's read quickly through the flesh so we don't get convicted. Now the works for the flesh, the works of your flesh. Are evident. The works of the flesh are evident, which are. Now, pause here for a second. This is a shotgun blast for works of the flesh. Okay? Because all flesh has the capacity to grow in these areas. You may never have done number one, but if you feed the wrong thoughts, you have the potential to do number one or number two or number three or number four. And let's be clear, when Jesus talked about the flesh, he wasn't talking just about the actions. He went to the root cause, which was the allowing the thoughts to live within your mind. So if you look over and go, no. Number one, check, clear. Number two, check, clear. Number three, clear. I'll get the Amplified out and begin to show you. You'll go, oh, I got to erase number two here. Hold on. Maybe not quite as clear as I thought. You know, because this isn't a check-off list for you to go, got it, good, yeah, look, God, I'm good. This is a warning that you have are wearing something on your body, something on you called your body, that if you feed it, it will grow one of these things. Even if you've never done these things, it will grow one of these things. Stay with me. So I say then, walk in the Spirit. Verse 16, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So you see a fight between the flesh and the Spirit, right? The inward man and the outward man. That's a fight you have every day. And you're not liberated from that fight. You have to make the fight. You're liberated from the law because the law couldn't get you what Jesus got you. But because Jesus got you, now you have a fight that you can win. But if you didn't have Jesus, you couldn't win this fight under the law. But now you can win. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So you have a fight, the flesh against the Spirit. It's not talking about the old nature here. He's talking about this body that you're wearing. But if you're under the Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. That means you don't need a law to tell you because the law is written in your heart already. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Whew. Okay. If we run faster, we can just let it fall off of us. I don't know. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now you have to decide. We're not going to get into this yet. This will be for another sermon. What that word practice means. Does it mean that you fail to it over and over? Because most sins, you're not going to just pick up a sin by accident. Most sins you're going to struggle on a regular basis. This is not to tell you you're in trouble because you're struggling with the same thing for 6 years. This is to tell you when you adopt something as who you are, I accept you now, my flesh is who I am, that now you're on a path where you begin to practice it, live it, thrive in it, rather than fight it, okay? But, then it goes on, say but. They say, thank God for but. I'll make the kids laugh. Thank God for but. The fruit of the Spirit is, now stop here. He gets more specific. This war between the flesh and the Spirit. First is the old, ugly flesh that you're wearing. And he identifies that if you're having a problem in any of these areas or root causes, it comes from where? The devil? No, from flesh. See, when someone's confused about who they are, they end up striving for a place of safety where they don't have to be confronted with how they don't fit into the scripture. So they'll find a preacher, they'll find a place. There's churches where the worship is awesome and they worship God, and there's no confrontation with, you should not be accepting this. Because a person who fights some things, they can't tell the difference between their soul and the demonic spirit. And the demonic spirit will always come in and fight you with your flesh. He doesn't just come in freely and make you like that. The word is, you're free from that. You can walk away from that. I don't judge you for fighting that, but don't accept it. So the fruit of the Spirit, so it gets more specific. The battle between your flesh and your spirit isn't just the flesh, the ugly flesh, and the born-again spirit. But he tells you more specific. The battle is against the flesh and the body and all its desires and lusts and the fruit of the Spirit. So he gets more specific. It's not just the spirit. Fruit, take a minute, fruit gives you an image. Think of a piece of fruit. Where did that come from? Came from a tree. Now, does it come from immature trees? No. Fruit only comes from mature trees. Now, he tells you earlier, you want to fulfill the law? You want to be a good Old Testament saint? Love your neighbor. That'll tell you that you fulfilled the law. That'll tell you got there. Loving the neighbor is much more than just being nice to the nice neighbor. Loving the neighbor means loving everybody equally, like your own children. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of your born-again nature, you take the fruit from that born-again nature. Love already exists in you. Joy already exists in you. Peace already exists in you, but it's in your nature. And just like any creature who has a nature, every puppy has to grow into what the nature tells it it is, you also have to grow in your spiritual man, your inner man, into the knowledge and into who the nature of God tells you you are. So walking in love isn't automatic the moment you're saved. Walking in peace isn't automatic the moment you're saved. But my dear, if you want to fight the fight of against your flesh and win, you better get that fruit to grow or else you're going to lose. Because when he added the word fruit, it put us in a bad spot. He didn't just say the spirit against the flesh. Here he goes on the fruit of the spirit. So you can't win against your flesh. Well, you can't rule totally over your flesh. I'm thinking if I want to squeeze all this in or if I want to just pause until next time I preach. You'll never win against your flesh if you stay an immature tree, because you won't have the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is not an outward expression. The fruit of the Spirit is an inward thing that comes out from the inside. The fruit is not forced. It comes. It keeps coming. You get a tree that matures. I got a little crab apple tree that you can't eat the crab apples. I don't know why they planted it in the yard, but I got a crab apple tree. Little tiny, not even, I like sour crab apples. That's what they call the crab apples. But these ones aren't just sour. I think they're poisonous, you know. And the tree isn't even that pretty. I can see a pretty tree with poison apples, but I can't see a reason why they planted this tree. Well, I'm not going to cut it down. We got a treehouse in it right now. But that darn thing, it keeps showing up. Every year, we got to pick up those stupid crab apples that are worthless. It keeps producing more fruit. Well, do you understand that you have inside of you a spirit that you can allow to let the inner man grow, that it will begin to take from the new nature righteousness and hang it on your inward man, love, joy, peace, that you can come and hit me and take my apple of love from me. Here's your fruit of love. Thank you. I'll take love from you. You can come rip me off, and guess what? There's another apple. There's more fruit. Why? It keeps coming. It won't stop. I don't have to plant another tree. I don't have to fertilize the tree. I don't have to till the ground. Once a tree produces fruit, it keeps producing fruit. And that's your spiritual man. Your inner man is the tree. It gets its nutrients from the new nature, which is connected directly to God in heaven. You don't need to look up to heaven anymore. Say, God, please come on down. How many churches, they look up for heaven for the glory to fall? When if they just look down, they can see that their roots are rooted deeply in him right now. That we're to walk on purpose into a place of maturity of the Spirit. So then we can walk on purpose around this planet, shaking it. Not being stopped by anything the devil throws at us. We're to live above what the devil throws at us. Now, you go to Alan 2.0. I was Alan 1.0 before I suffered the stroke. Now I'm Alan 2.0, much stronger, much better. But Alan 1.0 thought I was walking and stomping above anything the devil can do. Throw at me. Go ahead, devil, throw it at me. Show me what you got. Now Alan 2.0 is learning that I can still say that, but let me get there. We can live above these things. You don't have to go through these things. Don't look at Alan 1.0 as an example to say, well, you pray in tongues, you seek God, the devil's going to come and get you. Look at Alan 2.0 and watch me walk through this attack and watch me win and live there, never having to go back under it. And I don't think my attack's worse than yours. Listen, there's some people going through physical things much worse than mine. Some people going through emotional things which would trade places with me if they could. Do you understand? You're in your own battle. You got your own ugly flesh you got to worry about. But you also have a nature that's in the quality of Jesus Christ on the inside of you. And let's keep reading quickly. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law. There's no law against it. Nothing. It doesn't come from the law. This comes from the nature within you. All right? And those who are Christ, are you Christ?
Yes.
Have what? Have crucified the flesh with its passions. Now, it's not talking about harming your flesh, this body. It's talking about taking the voice of the flesh and putting it back on the cross. You know, the moment you were saved, your flesh went up on the cross. The moment you were saved. Now, it keeps trying to get off the cross. That's why it's a daily thing. But you're not trying to put it up the cross the first time. It's already up there. But it keeps trying to get off the cross every day. And if you allow it, it will give you a big hug. Think of your twin sister or twin brother sitting on the cross, nailed there. Please, let me off, my friend. Don't let me die up here. Oh, have pity on my flesh. Yes, have pity on me, please. Yeah, I'm almost free. Help me get off this ugly cross. No, your job is to go, no. You get back on there. See, every thought that comes that's against the word, every idea of depression, every idea of unsuccess, every idea of failing, that's your flesh trying to get it off the cross. Just think of that flesh get its hand unnailed as it says, you know, you're having a bad day today. You can't do this. You're not going to make it. You got to grab it then and put it back on the cross, because you let it get out, it's going to start speaking more and more and more. We've crucified the flesh with his passions. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, don't just live in the Spirit, but walk in it. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's read on. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, consider yourself lest you also be tempted. So he tells you, as a body, love each other. And if someone is failing towards sin, help them in love and gentleness to come back. Right? Considering yourself. So don't get too thinking you're too haughty, because you yourself can be taken by a trespass. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. He's telling us how to love each other. You have a bad day, I'll love you through it, and I'll forgive you. And then when I have a bad day, you'll love me through it, and you'll forgive me. We bear each other's burdens. You're not alone in this. What a great message right there. You're not alone in your walk. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. So he's saying, hold on to each other as a body. Don't be a lone wolf or a lone person walking through this life. Me and Jesus only. That's it. I don't listen to anyone, just the Holy Spirit. He's my teacher. He's all I need. If you're on an island and there's no one else there, absolutely. He's all you got. But God didn't put you in a body to be a lone guy, girl running around. Make connections, build relationships. But still, in that together, you're responsible for your own body. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Now, this is where it's really powerful. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Don't think offering here, right? Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So you're struggling with your flesh, you're not where you want to be with God, then he tells you how to get fruit from your spirit man to grow so you can overcome that ugly flesh. Right here. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. If you spend your day sowing your time into your flesh, hate to tell you, that old flesh is going to come off that cross and it's going to start ruling your life, telling you who you are, where to go, what to do, how to live, who you are. But if you take your day and your time and you sow into your spirit, you'll reap everlasting life. That inner man will grow and mature to the place that love will start popping out. Holiness will start popping out. Peace will start popping out. It'll be fruit unearned. Unearned. Oh God, give me peace. Don't look to heaven for peace. That's only temporary. Please, Pastor, pray for me for peace. Yes, you get peace for the moment, but that thing will come back. But there is a walk of the Spirit where you and I can grow and mature to where peace is always there. And someone comes and steals that fruit from you, there's another one shows up. Now let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due seasons we shall reap if we do not lose heart. I'm so tired of fighting this flesh. It won't ever shut up. I keep putting it down, it keeps getting up. Keep putting it down, keeps getting up. Don't grow weary. Keep sowing to your spirit. And there is a place that you walk in that you will cut the throat of the voice of your flesh that says, you need this. You need this. That's called mortification. Until mortification, it's just acting. So act like it until you mortify it. The flesh will play good. Now I'm going to just jump ahead real quick. Just stay with me, okay? Let us not grow weary while doing good. See how simple this gospel is? We've made it so complex. It's supposed to be simple. You can walk into holiness. You can walk into love. You can walk into everything God has for you, unearned, received from God. If you don't have it now, guess what? Don't give up, because if you keep sowing to your spirit, spiritual things, you'll reap one day. And you'll be so thankful, because then once you reap it, you'll have it. It won't disappear. It won't come one day and leave the next. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand, as many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh. You see that? Good showing in the flesh. So here's another image of flesh. We saw one image of flesh. The bad, the bad, the bad, the bad, the bad. Now he's giving you another image of flesh. the good, the religious part. As many as desire to make a good showing in the flesh, these will compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. But not even those who are circumcised keep the law. They desire to have you circumcised that you may boast in your, what, flesh. I'm closing my Bible to make a point right now. Your flesh, in all its goodness, is still not good enough. The flesh will play sin if you let it, but it can play religious too. It can do good works, but do you understand? You're a spiritual creature. The path that God has you cannot be performed, perfected, completed in the flesh. The flesh, the body, the thoughts, the mind, the intellect, the capability, the good works that you do with the flesh, if they originate from the flesh, it's not what God wants. Let me say that again. The flesh cannot overpower the flesh. You cannot win a fight with your flesh by fighting it with your flesh. It will always take care of itself. If you want it to dress nice and act nice, it will do that for you, but it's still not good enough. Don't go trying to boast to God, look how good I'm doing because I got my flesh under control. Under control is not the end. That is a part of the process. The end of the process, I have mortified it. Everything I have, everything I do originates from my spirit because it's unearned. Let me go back. Galatians. Sorry, I closed my Bible. I'm reopening it, starting service number two. He tells us. But God, verse 14, Galatians 5, 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the what? Cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision or uncircumcision availeth anything but a new creation. So in Christ, I boast in what he did and who he made me. I have no boasting in what I can possibly accomplish. Do you understand? Everything you get that does good for the kingdom, if it didn't come from God, you missed it. Even if you're trying to act, we have so many Christians out there trying to give God offerings of their time, offerings of acts of holiness as a reason to why you should use me, why you should have revival through me. This is a walk of the Spirit where we on purpose take the time. Do we chase holiness? You act holy, fight that flesh, punch it in the face, not literally, but fight it every step of the way. Put it down on that cross. Every time it gets up, put it back. It'll get up, put it back. But that's not your life. Your life is not a life of wrestling with your flesh. You have a life where if you'll sow into the Spirit, and sow into the Spirit, which means you don't sow into the flesh, eventually that fruit will show up, and you won't have to fight that flesh anymore. You will tell it, shut up. When the past comes and tells you, you are a failure, you are broken, you need this, you can say, shut up. You're not my voice that I listen to. Shut up. And when you mortify it, when it comes to a place of death because the spirit man has grown, you won't hear that voice anymore. That's the death. So the fight that you're scrapping every day just to come to church, just to stay on path, that's not forever. Amen. As long as you're sowing into your spirit. Hour after hour, let's keep praying. Let's keep in the Word. The more deeper I get into the gospel, the more thankful I am for this message. Just get up every day, pray in the Holy Ghost, read the Word, meditate, worship, fast. Try again tomorrow. Try again the next day. Try again, don't stop. I don't care if you struggled, if you fall into something 1,000 times. Keep sowing to your spirit. If you keep sowing to your spirit, you will walk in who he made you. Amen. 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 All right, you are released. We'll see you at 10 o'clock. God bless you.